Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banco BPM first half 2022 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Roberto Peronaio, IR Manager of Banco BPM. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for being here with the presentation of the first half results. As usual, you can find the presentation on our website in the Investor Relations page. And let me remind that the Q&A section is reserved only for the financial analyst. Now I leave the floor to Mr. Castagna.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for being with us for the Q2 presentation of Banco BPM. We are very happy to have the opportunity to present this very strong and good set of results for the bank in such a difficult operating environment like the one we are experiencing during the last months. Nonetheless, both in terms of net income, volume growth, asset quality and capital buffer, we feel that we have done a strong set of results, probably the best results ever for our bank. Let's go through the different line. Profitability grew both in terms of core profitability, Q&Q and H&H, 1.4%. Operating cost down 1.5%. We will see that like for like, the reduction is even bigger. Net income at 206 million plus 16% quarter on quarter, and adjusted net income at almost 500 million. We have reached 497 million of adjusted net income. All that still continuing to support the real economy with our activity. Core net performing customer loans grew quarter on quarter 1.5%, year to date more than 3%, which was the forecast for the whole year 2022. Is very remarkable to notice that loans to corporates and SME have a guarantee of 29%, are guaranteed for 29% of the entire volume by state guarantees. So we are continuing to have a very safe loan production mostly supported by state guarantee, in particularly the new lending to SMEs, 58% is with state guarantee. New lending at all is again at a very good level of 13.7 billion in the first 6 months of the year, plus 13% year on year. Green new lending 4.6 billion and also the direct customer funding is growing to 107.4 billion. Further improvement also in asset quality. We have been reducing year on year 1.6 billion the gross NPE and in the last quarter 0.8 billion down to 5.5 billion. With an NPE ratio gross at 4.8%, 3.6% with the IBA definition. The default rate in the first 6 months of the year is still very low, 0.9%, below 1%. The cost of risk also considering the amount that we have front-loaded in order to execute further disposal during the plan horizon is 55 basis points. If we consider only the core cost of risk related to the first 6 months, we are down to 35 basis points. Capital, even though impacted by the results of the reserves due to the Govis in Foci, is still at a very sound 12.8% I have to say that thanks to the recovery of the yield of the govies during the last month of July, we are back above 13%. Also, MDA buffer is fully loaded, is at a very comfortable 424 basis point, with all the LCR and NSFR very well above the minimum. We feel that we are well positioned to benefit from the NII boost that is already decided both by ECB, but the Euribor movement are now reaching almost 17 basis points of increase. I want to remember that we are very sensible in positive terms to the increase of Euribor. For 100 basis points, the sensitivity for us is 443 million, and even if we consider the 50 basis point of increase, official increase of ECB rates on 1 year time horizon is 220 million of increase in revenues. As you can see on the right side of page 7, the rates that we embedded in our strategic plan, both for 22, was 0.49 negative, and was still negative also for 23 and 24 to at 0.39 and 0.15. So if we have a look to the forward rates, you can see that there is a massive potentiality to increase the profitability thanks to the further increase of Euribor coming during the next months, probably due to the inflation. On the left side of the slide, you can see how solid and consistent has been during the year, starting from the pre-pandemic results in 19, to have consistent core revenues, almost 2 billion in 19 and now 2.1 billion in the first 6 months of the year. Likewise, the adjusted net income starting from 300 million last year was 382, and now we are almost at 500 million of net income. The asset quality went down from 9.7% to 4.8%. As well as the risk connected to the domestic sovereign risk as we're going down from 65% to 41% of share of Italian govies on the total portfolio, and if we consider only the all to collect and sale, the Italian govies are down from 58% to 28%. Let's go to page 8 also to see how this consistent set of results can help the, by also by the NII, which are not embedded in our strategic plan assumption, how we can go forward with confidence in order to get the results of our plan. As you can see, in Q2 22, the core revenues were 1.56 million, already more than what we forecasted in for 2023, which was 1 billion 20 million, and in 2024 we reached 1 billion 100 million, thanks also to the contribution of the bank assurance and the increase, the partial increase of NII. The same is for also for operating cost. We are down to 632 million. We still have to embed the further reduction of personnel, which happened during 2022, and we think we can reach the planned trajectory, which forecast 610 million. Of operating cost per quarter, both in 2023 and in 2024. Cost of risk is basically already at the level of our business plan, as well as net income is already above the 2023 target, With the further increase of both NII and bancassurance, will most probably reach the target for 2024. In terms of asset quality, we are on page 9. We are already ahead of the target for 2024 of our strategic plan, which was 6 billion of NPE. Now we are already down to 5.5 billion, which means, again, minus 22.3% in the last year, and down to 4.8% in terms of NPE ratio. The default rate and the execution of the Argo transaction allowed us to reach these results, and we still expect, without massive disposal, to overcome 2 billion of reduction, total reduction in NPE during 2022. Let's also say, as I mentioned before, that we have already targeted and embedded in our cost of risk more than 500 million of further disposal during the plan horizon. On page 10, some update about our bancassurance model evolution. As you may know, we have concluded, after the authorization by IVASS, the acquisition from Covéa of the 81% of BPM Vita. We have already applied for the status of financial conglomerate to the supervisor, which is a prerequisite to obtain the Danish compromise. And so from July this year, we are consolidating line by line the result of BPM Vita in our H2 22. The next step will be in 2023, related to Vera Vita and Vera Assicurazioni. We will have the first window to exercise the call option to company in H1 23, starting from January, and in the second half of the year we have the opportunity to have the closing for Vera Vita and Vera Assicurazioni. So with basically 1 year in advance vis-à-vis what we expected in our strategic plan. Let's say how are doing our negotiation in terms of potential partnership. We have received during the last weeks several potential offers from different partners. The board today decided and authorized the management to continue to explore the potential to establish a new partnership in insurance, in particular to focus the next phase of the process exclusively on non-life activity. A final decision is expected by year-end 2022. Let's pass on page 12 to the financial results. As I mentioned before, there are very good results in all items. On the left side, you see quarter-on-quarter increase. On the right, year-on-year, you can see that we have 1.4, as I mentioned before, of core revenues. Let me make you notice that we are one of the few that up to now have an increase also in commission, not only in interest rate, both quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year. We have also reduction of 1.5% on cost. Pre-provision income is the same of last year, year on year, but thanks to the reduction of cost of risk, we, notwithstanding the upfronting of more than 80 million, we have a pre-tax profit of 688 million, which is 30% more than last year. After taxes, this became 457 million, 16% more than last year, and a net income of 384 million, which adjusted became 497 million. The adjustments are related almost entirely to the pre-provision on the de-risking and on some adjustment, fair value adjustment on our real estate. Let's pass on page 13 to some detail about our profit and loss. We have the net interest income on page 13. The half yearly trend and the quarterly trend are both positive, 2% year on year, 3.1% on the quarter. The increase in the quarter is due 50% to the commercial activity and 50% to the contribution from the govies. Of course, this is starting to benefit from a better commercial spread, which thanks to the liability spread increase and the Euribor increase is giving 10 basis points of advantage vis-à-vis the last quarter. This is what happened until now. On the right side of the slides, we hope to have the opportunity to give you some clear understanding on what can happen in terms of sensitivity, both due to the 50 basis points already decided by the ECB raising of the facility rate, and also to a possible further increase of further 50 basis points. Let's say that on the first 50 basis points on an annualized NII, we'll have an advantage. We will have an advantage of 220 million. For the second part of the year, will be a bit less of half this amount, because of course the advantage does not start immediately on the 1st of July. Should be something more than 100 million. If the increase will happen in the second part of the year for another 50 basis points, so the total increase of Euribor will be 100 basis points, the total sensitivity for us, the total increase of NII for us will amount to 443 million, which is 21.6% of our current NII. If we projected this NII in the next 2 years, 23 and 24, we will have a slightly lower impact of the NII contribution, and precisely 360 million equal to 18% of our NII in 23 and 260 million in 24. This comes from the positive influence of the TLTRO calculation rates, but of course still we have a strong contribution also independent from the TLTRO, because you see that also in 2024, when the TLTRO will expire completely, we still will have a strong contribution, 13% increase on our NII. On page 14, I mentioned before the very good result on fee and commission. We have 1.8% plus year on year and 1.4% of improvement on Q on Q. Of course, this comes from a different movement of management, intermediation and advisory fee, which are 2% and 0.3% lower respectively last year and last quarter, but completely balanced by the commercial banking fees, where we have an increase of 5.7% year on year and 3.1% on a quarterly basis, leading to a total increase of the commercial activity of the bank. This came particularly for the good performances coming from the lending activity. We make reference to the 13.7 billion new loans, the payment-related services, the positive performance of consumer credit and credit cards product, the investment banking and structural banking fees, advisory fees, which counterbalanced positively the lower contribution coming from asset management fee, in particular funds and SICAV placement, which in turn were counterbalanced also by higher fees from life insurance and certificates. So all in all, what we have, a reduction of the investment product placement that you can see on the histogram of the low left side of the slide 14, we reduced it to 3.9 billion in Q2 vis-à-vis 4.5 billion in the first quarter, but this reduction does not affect so much the total commission, which were very well counterbalanced by the other commercial banking fees. Operating cost, as I mentioned before, 1.5% reduction year-on-year, 2.6%, year-on-year, 2.6% always year-on-year if we consider that 2021 was benefiting of some COVID-related savings for all more or less 50 million of contribution. The cost income is still very good at 54.5%, slight reduction since 2021. On Q-on-Q, we have a slight increase of 1.2%. The increase of 10 million in other administrative costs come, I would say, half from the energy cost and half from the new contract that we are dealing with in order to substitute at the expiry date the old contract. On the other side, the staff cost is reducing both year on year from almost 30 million year on year, and still is reducing in Q2, even though the major increase in reduction will happen in the second half of the year, when we experience another 10 million of cost reduction due to the exit, almost 240 exit that we had in June, always following the early retirement scheme that we started in 2021. The total headcount is still a bit above 20,000 people. On the next page, 16, we see again some figure related to the credit profile and the cost of risk. Year on year, the stated cost of risk is 35% lower than last year. If we see the quarter reduction, you see that the two quarter in 2022 were very much below the two quarter 21, even if we consider in both cases some extraordinary provisioning that were done in 2021 for 94 million and in 2022 for 113 million. Having said that, the real cost of risk of the core cost of risk for the first half of the year is down to 35 basis points, and Q2 is down to 26 basis points. On the left side, on the bottom on the left side, you see that the migration rates are still good. The default rate we mentioned before, below 1%, 0.9. A danger rate a bit higher, but it's just a spike that we had because a single position already considering bad loans that we passed during Q2, and also due to the Argo disposal, in which we, in order to complete the Argo disposal, we had some movement from UTP to bad loans. All in all, we also can say that we are proceeding with some early engagement campaign, likewise we did during the moratoria, in order to forecast with some kind of objectivity the possible default of our client, which were due to repay. We have done the same exercise this year on almost 6 billion of credit related to clients exposed to energy raw material intensive sector, and out of these 6 billion we have classified as NPE only 55 million. At the same time, we are prudentially increased of 1.5 billion the stage 2 due to this kind of client, but with the final results which was below Q1, exactly is in Q2 we have 11.2 billion in stage 2, which is 10.4% of total performance loans versus 10.7% of the last quarter. So all in all stage two, also stage 2 is giving us, also we have such a prudential approach on the category I mentioned before, we are getting some strong output. Let me remember again that we are quite satisfied of the increase that we are registering quarter by quarter on the percentage of total gross performing loans to SME and corporates, which now guaranteed by the state, that now amount to 29%, and last year were below 27%. Again, on page 17, on the coverage, on the right side of the slide, you see that the bad loans are now covered even after the Argo transaction to 61.5%. If we include write-off, we are above 70%. UTP still a very comfortable 40.3%, past due at almost 30%, and total NPEs 47.8%, which is almost 53% if we consider the write-off. The share of secured NPE is still almost two-thirds of the total NPEs. Let me pass the floor to Mr. Ginevra, which will go through portfolio and liquidity and capital.
Thanks a lot, Giuseppe. I hope you can hear me. So page 18 now presents the recent evolution of our bond portfolio, debt securities portfolio. You see in this page that in the first half of this year, we took the opportunity to increase the level of bond holdings, which allowed us also to exploit the increasing yields for increasing the future contribution to NII. The bond portfolio, staying on the left part of this slide, is represented for two-thirds by amortized cost component, which is important because limits the level of volatility of the portfolio of capital induced by variations in returns. Turning to the right part of this slide, this shows the progressive important diversification that we are achieving in this portfolio. Now, Italian govies impact cover a share of only 41.1%. This used to be 9.1% at the merger date, end of 16. This 41.1% compares with 50% or below 50%, which is the 2024 target. Bearing in mind that we have concentrated the vast majority, predominant majority of Italian govies in amortized cost portfolio. They are now 75% of such bonds are in this portfolio, which keeps its historical cost without being exposed to the market volatility. The next page, page 19, provides some elements on the contribution of fair value of the comprehensive income portfolio, both to capital and to the P&L. In a volatile market context, as it is the case in the first half of this year, reserves went down. They were at 46 million on a net basis at the beginning of the year. They have been booked at 467 million negative on the 30th of June. In a volatile environment, so it's not surprising that this trend has been partially reverted in the first part of the year. This reduction is important to note, and now I'm on a pie in the bottom part of the left of this slide, is mostly attributable to market risk, much more than credit risk. So Italy, as a matter of fact, contributes only for 11% of the reduction in the net level of reserves, whilst 50% is core Europe, so basically Germany, France and Spain, 20% is US govies, 19% is other type of securities. So, moreover, the hedging strategies on the portfolio have also contributed to mitigate the impact of the reduction in reserves. Now, turning to the attention to the national, to the net financial result, which is in top right part of this slide, we see that the contribution of this item in the P&L is 49 million in the second quarter, after negative contribution from Nexi of 37 million, again another volatile item which in the third quarter so far has showed conversely a positive contribution. The contribution of fair value of the comprehensive income to this net financial result is positive for 70 million, and this positive contribution is largely attributable to option hedging. A final point is that we tend to look at this capital volatility in close conjunction with the exposure, overall exposure of our P&L to NII. And the comparison is such that the capital sensitivity is as limited as 2.5 million per basis point if you look at the fair value of the comprehensive income portfolio. This only for 300K from Italian govies, so very limited contribution to this yield sensitivity, whilst the NII sensitivity, which was mentioned by Mr. Castagnan earlier in this presentation, is 443 million, so is almost a factor of two, the difference between the NII sensitivity and the capital volatility. Next page, a snapshot on funding and liquidity, showing that we are in a very comfortable position in terms of LCR, well above 200%, NSFR, which is above the minimum requirement of 100%, with a total level of liquidity as high as 45 million, or above 45 million. We have continued in our issuance program during the second quarter. In April, we issued an AT1, additional Tier 1 for 300 million. Recently, in July, we were out in the market with a green senior preferred private placement of 300 million. Worth mentioning also the covered bond of 750 million that was issued in March. We are also receiving very comfortable signals from rating agencies. On top of the historical investment grade rating that we have always been granted by DBRS, recently Fitch had assigned to the bank a long-term rating of BBB-, so also in this case investment grade, and Moody's upgraded one notch to BA1, which is just one notch below investment grade. The next slide shows the impact of the various parts that were described in the previous part of this presentation on capital. We started the quarter at 13.1, end of March. We received a positive contribution from P&L of 36 basis points, partially absorbed 21 basis points by the expected level of dividend, 50% as per the historical previous year decision, plus an additional component, which is the effect of additional Tier 1 coupons. So the total before impact of reserves is at 13.3%. Then, of course, we had a negative impact of reserves. On a net basis, this is 54 basis points, and so leading to a total of 12.8. But this negative effect has to be interpreted as a temporary phenomenon, because on one hand, it's progressively absorbed through the pull-to-par effect. By December 24, basically, this amount will be reduced by the simple natural tendency to par of the price of the, our bonds. On the other hand, it is also influenced by the movements in the market. As I said earlier, in July, after June, the market evolved positively. Now, more than 40 basis points of these 54 have been recovered, so that we are well above 13% on a pro forma basis. Quick mention on the phased-in ratio, which is at 14%, and on the buffers, our fully loaded buffer for in terms of MDA, distributable amount, is 424, so very reassuring, benefiting not only from the high level of Common Equity Tier 1, but also from our ability to fill in full all the buffers, both in terms of Tier 1 and in terms of, both in terms of additional Tier 1 and in terms of Tier 2.
Thank you, Edoardo. Let's terminate with the final two slides. One is to concentrate the very good set of results of these first 6 months. Let's say that after the restructuring, I would say that we were both geographically and temporarily very well positioned to exploit the still very good growth in GDP in the first 6 months of the year, which is above 3%, and in our geographical territory maybe more than that, and this led us to a very good set of results, again, both in terms of profitability, in terms of cost income, in terms of slowdown of cost of risk, at the same time in terms of further staying concentrated on the further reduction of gross NPE stock, looking at the current level of results, but also looking forward with the provision in advance that we did for the next quarter. Eduardo talked about the solid capital position, even better if we consider recent movement of the govies. Notwithstanding this good performance and a good feeling that we have also on Q3, I will have to say that we are experiencing a solid set of results also in July. The boom also of the touristic contribution to the summer will for sure boost also in Q3 the economy in Italy, but notwithstanding the good performance, we can see the potential slowdown due to the effect of the geopolitical situation and of the Italian uncertainty in the last quarter of the year. That's why we still are strongly believing that NII sensitivity will be the catalyst to support revenues and profitability even in a slowdown scenario. So what is our outlook with a certain approach of prudence is that we will go over 4.4 billion of total revenues, 2.5 billion of operating cost, pre-provision profit above 1.9 billion, a cost of risk that we will consider consistent with a slowdown scenario of 55 to 60 basis points, which would lead to an EPS over 40 cents with a dividend payout of 50%, which is embedded in our capital work that Mr. Ginevra was showing you. Of course, if we consider the adjusted EPS will be in the region of 48 basis points, with the capital above 13% and MDA buffer of more than 420 basis points. This will be for us the good start for the target that we have in 2023 and 2024, which we confirm with our full commitment of our management and the conviction that the NII can be really a catalyst for improving these results. Now I leave the floor to your Q&A.
Thank you. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask to use handsets when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Giovanni Razzoli with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and thank you for the details. Three very quick questions. The first one, can you share with us what are the assumptions that you have made in terms of increasing deposit cost, if any, in the sensitivity that you are providing us? I'm asking you this because everyone seems to be focused on this topic and is providing comments. So as a major commercial bank, I could be interested to know what your view. And also, as more detail, if you can share with us what was the TLTRO impact benefit that you have in the first half and what is the amount that is expected to disappear in the second half of the year. The second question, I'm going back to the comment that you have just made. So what you are basically saying is that you expect to confirm or improve the 2023 business plan targets also in a slowdown scenario, thanks to the, you know, leverage that you have on the NII, which can, you know, I guess, offset lower fees or, I don't know, higher cost of risk, whatever. So is my understanding correct? And the third clarification, you decided to go for a partnership in the bank assurance only in the PNC and protection business. So you will retain the full control of the life business and you do expect to take a decision by year end, right? So that's are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Giovanni. Good afternoon. Yes, of course, the NII sensitivity already get the assumption for a parallel shift, so an increase also on deposit. I don't know if I can give you the right figure, but for sure the first increase of 100 basis point embeds a few basis points in terms of cost of deposit, because this would mean to go to 50 basis point over Euribor positive. The TLTRO impact...
So you've been pretty conservative there, because your peers have not incorporated any on that.
They are incorporated on the scenario that we have of the normal cost of deposit. So how much this deposit is stable or not in our figure, we do not assume that the cost of deposit will increase sensibly in the first 100 basis points.
Okay.
But there is an increase in any case. TLTRO, I should say that we have a slowdown in the second half of the year of 30 million, more or less vis-à-vis the first half, which is due, of course, to the 50 basis point of reduction of the premium. But on the same time, we recover on the placement, because you know that now the placements are much more remunerative than before. On 2023 and 24, of course, we have to wait for understanding better what kind of a scenario. If I look around, of course, there are a lot of negative forecast about 23. Today I read also only one broker talking about below zero, but normally we are not considering this kind of sensitivity. We think that with a GDP in the region of 1%, we can have still a very good impact, a positive impact from the NII sensitivity and the increase of Euribor. But it's better, of course, to wait for the last part of the year to confirm the target or the increasing target for 23. For bank assurance, yes, the decision is that we take the life business, which is the vast majority of the business in terms of volumes, I would say that is also the one that is more related to the normal activity of our network, which is very good in terms of asset management placement, and I would consider the life business very much in line with the other kind of product in asset management. Meanwhile, we feel that it's worth to consider to go deep into detail with the bidder in order to understand which kind of better evolution can have the sensitivity that we have on our own business plan related to the improvement that we can get from an industrial partner. And the first understanding on the non-binding offer is that there is room to improve our results.
May I add some more technical comment on TLTRO, just to take the opportunity of the question. It's something where you have some certainties about on what happened in the first half, because we used to have a special interest period which ended at the end of the first half. There is uncertainty on the second half because it depends on the actual level of depot facility rates during the second half. In the current scenario, the reduction in contribution from NII due to the expiry of the special interest period is more or less, by and large, compensated by the increase in the second half due to the fact that the cost of funding in using TLTRO is lower than the overall return on the deposit facility.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Noemi Peruch with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you for taking my question. Thank you for the update also on the insurance business. It's very clear. So here I have just one question. Can you please share with us, like, the financial and operating trade-off you have in mind for the P&C business? And in case of sale, how would you deploy the likely capital gain? Would you consider paying it to shareholders? And on common equity, can you please break down the moving part leading to one basis point on page 21. And lastly, may you give us some color on the evolution of attitudes toward investment of Italian SME in the last months? What are your expectations in terms of corporate loan growth for the rest of the year? And also, would you expect cost of risk to move above 60 bps in 2023-2024 before falling to a more normalized level? Thank you very much.
Thank you. You know, we have still to consider the different opportunity that we can get. You know that the P&C business is not really only the upfront payment, but we have to consider the commission level, the strategic business plan that we have to agree with the potential partner, and the growth of value also of the joint venture. So are different issues that we have to examine, and I would say that the capital gain will be only a part of this entire amount of consideration. Let me imagine that cannot be more than 20% of the entire value of the combination. So, of course, we are not very much pressed by the capital gain, but more by the evolution of the business and the reinforcement to the commission level for our bank during the year. Wouldn't be in any case such a capital gain to, if we consider only non-life, it wouldn't be such so extraordinary to have to consider a different destination of the capital. Moving parts, all in all, is a bettering of RWA and a negative contribution from DTA always coming from the Govies impact on reserves. Edoardo was explaining that the 54 basis points were the net. Of course, there is also an impact on DTA, and this offset the advantage that we have on RWA. Corporate clients. Up to now, I have to say, and you can consider the 13.7 billion we have done in terms of new lending and the increase of more than 3% of the total core performing loans, which were already the target for 2022, and we have done it without, let's say, the PNRR deployment, which is still to come and maybe will come in the second part of the year. So I see a corporate activity which is strong right now. As I mentioned before, we had some early scheme in order to understand and to detect potential difficulties, also because there is also now in place some aid program from the state to contribute to our client. And as a matter of fact, we are not yet in this kind of solution to propose to our client. So we see clients with strong backlog of order. We are increasing export, which are in any case keeping a good profitability, even though eroded by the cost of energy and for some of them by the cost of raw material. So not yet, as you see from 0.9 of default rate, any signal of deterioration, but having said that, for a prudent approach, we consider that in the second part of the year, the default rate could increase, and for the whole year, we consider something that is more than 0.9.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Christian Carrese with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. Congratulations for the results. Very solid in terms of quality core revenues. I would focus on net interest income and the cost of risk. Take into account the additional buffer in terms of net interest income looking at 2024. I was wondering, what kind of cost of risk do you expect due to higher rates and default rate at around 1%? Do you think that could be a little bit higher? So the net interest income and cost of risk, what could add to net profit in 2024? The second question is on bancassurance. If you could split what was embedded in the business plan for 2024 in terms of bancassurance between life and non-life business. And on net financial results, we saw a positive impact coming from the option hedging on FVOC. Do you expect any additional positive contribution from the hedging in the coming quarter? Thank you.
Thank you, Christian. I will start with some answer, then I will leave the floor to Edoardo in order to give you some color about the hedging strategy and the impact on NFR. Let's say, starting from the bancassurance, which maybe is the quickest one, the 120 million of value in 2024 were a split of, let's say, 85 million more or less of life and the difference of non-life. And of course, the life will still remain and the non-life will be split in some different possible part with the potential partner. But of course, we are working in the sense that the potential partners have to be able to make more money for us in terms of commission. So all in all, I wouldn't say that this change our strategy for the for the figure that we embedded in our plan. On the contrary, maybe if we go to this solution, it's why we feel more safe, more certain to reach that results with an industrial partner. NII, understood well that we were talking about 24. Is a bit difficult.
Yes.
We were thinking that we were so transparent to talk about you about 22 and 23. In 24, as I mentioned before, there is a reduction, but just for the first 100 basis point, which would reduce the contribution of the first 100 basis point of 180 million. But of course, if the situation will still continue the way we see with the inflation, we don't think that the interest rate will terminate their hike with the 100 basis points. So it's very much possible that there will be further increase going ahead in the next couple of years.
I was wondering, just look at the forward rates. There will be some additional more than 100 basis points by 2024 compared to the strategic plan assumption. I'm looking at slide number 7. So take into account the further boost to net interest income, I was wondering what kind of expectation would you have in terms of cost of risk, taking into account also that you have increased the pace of the risking, looking at what you have done in the first half 2022.
The forward rates, as you were mentioning, we put them on page 7 in order to make understand that the forecasts are much more generous than our analysis of the first 100 basis points. And of course, any other 100 basis point will have a considerable effect on our figure for 24. Of course, this could bring some effect on cost of risk. Let's say that we were already prudent in our business plan because we had a default rate for 22 of 1.8%. Meanwhile, we are experiencing 0.9%. A 1.2 for 2023 and 1% for 2024. So it is very much possible that there will be some switch from 2022 to the forward years, but it's really now difficult to say. We have to wait at least for the forecast of GDP in 2023, which possibly will come in the next quarter.
Yeah, on the question about expectations on results of hedging strategies, of course, hedge is a strategy which produces results against the market movement. So in case of the strategy that we put in place in previous quarters have been effective in a scenario of increasing yields, mitigating the reduction in reserves, in these quarters we are going the other way around. So of course the hedging strategies are contributing with a negative impact on NFI. On top of this, of course, we are producing additional contribution to NFR from our ordinary activity.
If I may, on this point, so basically on P&L maybe a negative impact from hedging, but a positive impact in terms of capital. On bank assurance, so on the keeping the life business, what do you expect would be the impact on capital?
On P&L, the point on P&L is it depends on the evolution of rates. I mean, it's too early to tell what will happen in the second half. Elections and volatility in general is makes the markets difficult to predict with a 6 months or 5 months horizon. On insurance, I understood that it's probably helpful to repeat the numbers which were not very clearly heard. So Giuseppe said the contribution to the total 125 million of the plan is a little bit more than 85 from life and the rest from non-life.
I was wondering on capital.
On capital, I mean, it's depends on the evolution of the agreement. At this stage, we've only decided to go ahead in exploring the point of non-life. Then we will decide according to price that will be offered, the commissions, and so on and so forth. We don't anticipate major impacts on capital from this decision.
Perfect. Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Vercellone with BNP Exane. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I've got three. The first one is if you can explain qualitatively and quantitatively how you move from 440 million theoretical sensitivity to 100 basis points up in net interest income to the actual sensitivity of 360 million that you expect for 2023 and 260 2024. I don't get the moving parts. Second question is on the state guaranteed loans. Average guarantees there is 85%. Is it correct to assume that the maximum provision you would book on any such loans potentially needing classification to UTP or NPL or bad loan would be 15%, or you would potentially need to book more provisions and then write them back at a later stage? And the final question is just a small detail. Have you booked now all of the capital gains on the bonds classified at amortized cost that you sold forward last year, or there's still some more to come in H2 2022? Thank you.
Hello, good evening. Let me answer on the second two questions, and then I will leave Edoardo to make some more explanation on the 440 million becoming a bit lower in the next couple of years. This, of course, is only related to the first 100 basis points, of which 50 basis points are already gone. For the state guarantee, we still don't have such experience to say that there are a lot of these defaulted. So basically, we are dealing one by one the few that are going into NPE. Of course, we are very attentive not only to the documentation, but also to being very quick in doing all the formality to be in the position to exploit the guarantee. We are working on the set of loans guaranteed in the last 3 years, getting, of course, some remedial action where we see that there are problems, but I can say that the vast majority, if not the complete entire stock, is well positioned. So what we will do is, like in any case there is a guarantee, we will consider only the difference, which from time to time will be not guaranteed. Let's say an average of 20% could give us an idea, because of course, as you know, there are 100% guarantee up down to 70% of guarantee. But because the 17% guarantee are the bigger one, I think 20-25% could be the maximum amount. For amortized costs, we didn't get any profit during the this month.
We had already booked the profits for the forward sales that had been anticipated for most of them. There is only a limited amount which is remained for the second half. For the sensitivity, it's you're right, it's a complex dynamics. Let me try to explain as simply as possible. What happens when rates increase is that the investments in central bank deposit facility react immediately, almost immediately, with a sensitivity of euro per euro, or basis point per basis point. So the 100 basis points increase in level of deposit facility rates creates 100 basis points increase in the return on this deposit facility. On the other hand, for TLTRO, the mechanism for calculating the interest rate embeds an average between the historical minus 0.5 and the current level of rate of the deposit facility, implying that in any case the more the rates are high, increased, the more you create a difference between cost of TLTRO funding and yield of deposit facility investments. First point. Second point, TLTRO has a maturity. So over time, our 39 billion of TLTRO funding are expected to be reimbursed, part of them in 2023, remaining part progressing, part of them in half of it in June 2023, remaining part progressively until end of 2024. This means that this positive effect I was describing earlier is progressively reduced along with the residual maturity of TLTRO. So if TLTRO lasts forever, then you have forever the impact I was describing. Given that TLTRO is expected to be reduced, then the effect in 2022 for the next 12 months, conventionally calculated as of 30th of June, is higher than the effect as of December 23, because the residual maturity of TLTRO is reduced by 6 months, and this is in turn higher than the level as of end of 24, because end of 23, so for the total year of 24, because we remain at the stage with a very limited amount of TLTRO funding.
Yeah, thank you.
The next question is from Tariq El-Majad with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. Just two quick questions. First of all, on the pass-through rates for deposits, I understand well that there is no impact there. I mean, what's the percentage you take as an assumption into your NII sensitivity? If I understand right that there is no sensitivity, can you please explain why? And secondly, on the insurance potential partnerships, can you, maybe I missed that, but can you explain why the life is excluded from the discussions with new partners? Is it because the offered deals from the bidders were not compensating for the higher net profit you presented in the plan, or the bidders were not interested? Can you please just give us some elements there? Thank you.
Good evening. Let's say we say that the sensitivity takes in account also an increase in the cost of deposit. More or less is, again, an average of 30-35 basis point 400. And of course it will depend, the more the interest rate go up, of course the more the impact will be higher.
So 30-35 is for 100 basis points.
Yeah. Insurance partnership, why we do exclude life? I tried to explain before. We think that the life activity is much more in the normal activity of our network. Our people is very much used to sell investment product, and they were very good also in the last year to adapt to the different insurance company and so different product, the behavior in life insurance investments. So we really feel that having also the support of our asset under management product factory, we can be very good in this activity. This, of course, is also the one who brings much revenues in terms of commission and capital gain. So we think that we can exploit this activity 100%. We cannot foresee such an advantage from joining with an industrial partner in this kind of business. Likewise, we think we can have in the non-life business. So it's both a question of exploiting also the opportunity and the arbitrage of the Danish compromise. Of course, we can have a full return on the life without basically spending capital. And on the other side, to take the advantage of industrial partner to develop product strategy and to adapt the different possibility in the many opportunity of non-life through the advisory of an industrial partner. So the two businesses are really very different. And again, also in terms of capital, the life is very profitable for us because we basically have a sort of free lunch without spending capital. We can get revenues and profitability.
Thank you.
The next question is from Anna Benassi with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. I have a couple of questions. One relates to the contribution from associates in Q2 that has been below the Q1 level, 41 million. Can you tell us what is the contribution from Agos and the contribution from the Bancassurance so that we can plan, particularly for BPM Vita, what you could expect with 100% ownership in H2. Then another question is on your NII sensitivity. Just to make sure I understood what you were saying, could that reflect assuming 100 basis points increase in rates overall, that 2023 NII could top 2.4 billion and then could have a lower level in 24? Am I right? Am I wrong? Because of what you mentioned on TLTROs, just to be sure I've understood what you said. And finally, a detail on tax rate. Because honestly, your 40 cents of stated EPS for this year does not completely work with the revenue cost and cost of risk indication you gave, meaning to me the number could be higher than that. So maybe is cost of risk or maybe some other one-off on top of what we saw on real estate impairments and goodwill impairments, whatever you have in mind. Thank you.
I hope I understood all your question. I'm not that sure, but let's start from the one I understood. The first one, maybe the easiest one, is the contribution from Agos. Let's say that was 8 million in the first half, 27 million, which is 8 million more than last year. Of course, these are commission. If you want to have the associates, I have to check. Agos is 53 million in the first half. Then the bank assurance, you want to know the 9 million. Yes, it was 9 million, always in terms of associates.
All the bank assurances, so both Vera and BPM Vita.
No, I'm talking about the one BPM Vita, Vera and BPM Vita.
Okay, the three. Okay.
NII sensitivity. If the question was 2023 sensitivity will be higher than 2024, yes, because of the mechanism that Edoardo was explaining before.
Yeah. So my question was more than in total, the NII in 24 would be lower than the NII in 23?
For sure, in 22 would be lower because it's only 6 months. Total, sorry, I was talking about sensitivity, taking into consideration the increase of your IBOR. No, of course, total for 22 will be, I would say, at level of last year, a bit higher, 2.1, I think, is the sensitivity that we have. And in 23, of course, we will benefit totally for all the year of the contribution of Euribor increase, so for sure will be higher. I cannot give you already some forecast, but will be higher also of the forecast that we had in the strategic plan.
2.4 billion, I would say. Okay.
Okay. One-off from real estate, they were almost from 35 to 40 million, if I remember well. This comes because we have a possible transaction to execute, hopefully by the year end, on a quite consistent portion of our portfolio. And so we are doing all the different appraisal in order to get the final figure in order to present the info memo to our potential bidder. So that's why we have been working also on that. What I am missing?
Eventually the tax rate or some other negative one-offs that could explain why the stated EPS, so the EPS as reported, not the adjusted one, is in brackets only 40 cents, because it could be higher.
Yes, the difference were, again, the adjustment in credit, as I mentioned too, we made room for further de-risking of more than 500 million, and also what we have done on real estate. If I'm not wrong, you were also asking about the cost of risk this year, if it's embedded some negative assumption on the slowdown of the economy. Yes, the 55 to 60 basis point is a very prudent approach, increasing the default rate for the second part of the year.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Marco Nicolai with the Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. So I've got one on the NPL market. You just completed the Argo transaction. You also have other portfolios to sell over the plan horizon. What are you seeing now on the NPL market in terms of average selling price and volumes? Any hints that the current market environment, current economic environment, is impacting this market? Is there anything that could slow down your future progress here? And then, in terms of payout, you mentioned for 2022, 50%. Are you considering to deliver this only via dividends, or the buyback option is still there? Then a question on admin costs. These were up this quarter. You mentioned the impact of inflation. Do you see this level, the level that we saw this quarter, as a kind of a floor? And also you were guiding for 2.5 billion costs in 22. I think, if I'm not wrong, before you mentioned that 2022, so in previous results presentation, you mentioned that costs in 2022 should be lower than 2021. If I'm not wrong, are we still keeping this kind of old guidance as valid? Or you see them more as flattish versus 2021? Yeah, that's it from me. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Marco. On the NPL scenario, frankly speaking, there is a lot of evolution on that market. We are, of course, not anymore massive disposal of NPEs because we have been left with 5.5 billion, which less than 2 billion are bad loans. We are obliged, in a way, to be very cheeky in trying to find the best solution, which do not go always through a straight disposal. We are examining contribution of asset. We are examining funds where we can contribute funds, asset, and an investor can invest in order to exploit the asset. We have a very sound pipeline in this respect. We are not obliged because you have seen the default rate going down to the level we expected for 2024. If we consider also the further disposal embedded in our cost of risk, we are down to something like 4.2%. We are quite opportunistic. We have made room because our balance sheet was very good and our profitability was very sound. We took advantage to make some more provisioning in order to increase the potential de-risking, also in view of a potential deterioration of the default rate. No rush into selling anything. Specific and concentrated piece of asset to sell, always find the best possible solution. We have done up to now, I think, since we merged the bank, eight or nine disposal of asset from 7 billion to 600 million. I think we have quite an experience to run at the most convenient way also this activity. In terms of buyback, is always an option, of course. We already said last year that could have been a possibility. Let's see how the forecast for this year, the outlook for this year will be in terms of GDP deterioration. Of course, we are talking about very good results, and I understand that we have some good feeling in trying to get the most possible reward to our shareholder. We have also to consider that there are some cloud ahead of us for all the economy, and we have to consider at the end of the year what will be the situation. We have done a very prudent outlook of our potential results. 21, if you talk only about general expenses, I think we are more or less on 21. We have to consider how much could impact in the next two quarter the energy cost, but it's not that much higher than what we had in 21. On the opposite, we think that if we consider also cost of staff, we will have some consistent reduction in general cost. Is it okay?
Yes, yes. Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
There is a follow-up question from Luigi Pedone with Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. A very quick question regarding the collection. Can you share with us what trend are you observing on asset under management and under custody and the client's behavior in the current environment? Thank you.
We have been down for market effect of almost 4 billion during the first six months. Now we are recovering 1 billion, 1.5 billion. Of course, the recovery always stimulate the investor to make some new transactions. So we are already experiencing during the last couple of weeks some rebound of the lower part of the investment sales we had between mid-June, mid-July, which was really the worst part of the year. Nowadays, we think we can have some small rebound. We are confident again to have some rebound also from the market effect. We, of course, are also giving our client more product which can, in one way, defend them from the inflation and are more defensive. So we think that the attitude of our clients should be stimulated by also this new product. So, of course, there will be not the the increase that we thought last year, but this will be more than offset by the NII contribution and the lower cost of risk.
Thank you.
The next question is from Adele Palama with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Two questions actually. One is a clarification on NII and on a guidance for the 2022 revenues. So, I mean, sorry if this was already discussed, but can you tell me again which is the assumption of rate hike included in the 2022 guidance for the revenues? And then the second question is if you can give us a guidance on the evolution of the equity account investment contribution to the revenues and to the trading income. I know it's a little bit complicated, the trading income, but just directions. Thank you.
No, I would say that if I get rightly your question, I think that almost all the increase comes from the core business, so not from trading contribution. We are very prudent about second half trading contribution. Meanwhile, we feel that the Euribor spike can give us some boost in terms of NII. So basically the good side is NII and some saving on cost of personnel to try to keep a solid commercial base of fees through the commercial banking fees, some reduction in cost of risk and a flat, I would say, trading income and up to respect to H1.
Okay, but specifically on NII for 2022, you have 50 basis point rate hike or you have more?
We have included in the guidance we gave, we provided additional 25 basis points from of increase in short-term rates.
Okay, thanks.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you very much, everybody. I know it's a long day in summertime, but I'm not so guilty because tomorrow you have another day. So let's say that hope to see you very soon and to have a wonderful summer for everybody. Bye-bye.